Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, gentlemen. Hello, come in, London. London?
London calling. I can hear you loud and clear, JB.
How are we, Tim?
I'm very well, thank you. You all right, Phil?
I'm very good. I'm very good, thank you, Tim.
You sound like you've made a full recovery. JB, you still sound pretty rough.
Oh, I have been down in the dungeon all day today doing nothing but sucking lozenges. That's it. Wait.
Not the first time there's sucking been going on in the dungeon.
Oh good God! Right, let's play the music and get
lozenges. Lozenges.
Oh. Right, hands in. Pod on three. 1, 2, 3. Pod. Hello and welcome to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast where rugby doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. I'm Jay, for once filling in because Tim is down in London and we're not confident on Skype and technology and all those good things. And as usual, I am joined with Phil down here in the dungeon. Hello, Philip.
Hello, JB.
And once more, hello, Timothy.
Hello, JB. Jay, I'm going to jump in and just give you another brilliant review that we've had on iTunes.
Calling me a bigot? Because I actually cut that out and framed it.
I haven't seen that one. I've seen this one from Gertoof, who says, as entertaining as watching Bergamasco play nine.
Fantastic.
Also, some tweets in relation to you boys being too hammered to do a podcast on Bank Holiday Monday.
Oh,
Alistair McKinnon says, and as a punishment, JB should be banned from slagging off the Pro 12 on this podcast.
I'll take that. I will take a ban from slagging off anything or praising anything or saying anything this podcast, actually. So it's good for me, Alistair.
Luke Cowell as well says that, like kangaroo court fashion, JB should have to pick an all-time best 15 for each Pro 12 team, and Phil should have no...
I think I'd get into every one of those teams.
Phil should have no stats for a week.
Oh, no, don't do it to me, please.
We've had loads of people getting in touch on Twitter. We're at Rugby Podcast there, and you can find us on iTunes. Leave a review. We'd really appreciate it. Where should we kick off, boys?
Actually,
I know where to kick off. Are you boys feeling okay? And can you let us into some of what you can let us into that went on this stag do of our friend of the pod, Bryn Williams?
I can tell you this much. I'm not as good a drinker as I used to be. In fact, I'm thoroughly broken.
I still think I'm not a bad drinker. I just don't recover anywhere near like what I used to.
Yeah, it's really quite tragic. I had a bath with two of the RGC lads. Dreams do happen.
All of our Twitter followers have been enjoying that. In fact, we've got some messages about that one as well, actually. Let me find those tweets. Oh, here we go, yes. Eddie Stevens on the pick of UJB in the bath with two RGC lads. celebrating Jacques Burger with sausages.
Exactly.
And this one from Roars says, so JB was the one with the three in a bed injunction.
Sorry, that really confused me then, because in North Wales there is a place called Junction, and some lads on the tour have come from Junction. So when you said three in the bed from in Junction, I actually thought you meant in London.
All right. Next big question: how much rugby have you managed to see since you've been back?
Much more than last night.
Yes, most of it, and certainly up to date with everything as well.
Good work. So what? Pick a highlight then, Phil.
Exeter's performance against Wasps was mightily impressive.
It was. And class all over the field. But the Henry Slade in particular, the way he takes the ball so close up to the defenders before passing the ball, it's so rare for that amount of composure in such a small amount of space. I love the guy. Absolutely love him.
Yeah. Yeah. Slade looks great. The whole back line is ticking along very nicely. Even players kind of like Ian Whitton and Phil Dolman, who they're not exactly massive names, but they're performing incredibly well.
The only
they?
Massive name is actually Slade.
I mean, and Noel.
Yeah.
Do you reckon Noel's a big name now?
Oh yeah.
Well, he's got more caps than Slade, hasn't he?
He has. So
and he's got more hair. blonde rat's tails than anyone.
That is true. What I'd say about the extra backline is they seem to just reclaim anyone, and it goes okay. And that sounds like it's been incredibly disrespectful to the players who've done so well there. But Short, like I say, Dolman, Hill came from the Championship, Slade from the Academy.
Woodburn,
yeah, we didn't get a game at Bath.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, that Harry Williams that they got from Jersey, he looks a player, doesn't he?
Mm.
Oh, the prop, the tight head. Yeah.
But they all just fit into the system regardless of where they come from. And then when they do buy a big player, lo and behold, they play like a big player. So whatever they're doing down there, it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, that was one of my picks of the weekend, alongside the Ulster game that I mentioned yesterday on the mini pod. I briefly mentioned it.
Trimble put in an almighty hit. Okay, put in a couple actually, but he's back to his best. It's good to see.
Can we just go back to Exeter a second?
Okay.
And not so much Exeter, but Wasps. Now they've come through two games against two teams that they at this point in the season would hope to beat. Not only would they hope to beat them, I think they probably think to themselves they've got more chance of beating them this year with the PSL boys there and George Smith.
Yeah.
And next year. So although it's an important game for Exeter to win, do you think it is more important that Wasps lost?
Possibly, but it also, in the context of the league, it allowed Exeter to leapfrog Wasps into second place and secure... Well, they've not actually secured that home semi-final, but it's in their hands securing that home semi-final.
And it, again, just means they've got to play Wasps, but at Sandy Park?
Most likely, yes.
My highlight of the week was just Jack Berger. I thought he was sent off in really nice fashion. The amount of support and love that he got from the rugby community, not just Saracens, but just everywhere in the whole world, was really amazing to see. And I just think there's still a story or some explanation needed to me, maybe you know better, on why now.
Well, I'm upset you actually asked that, Tim, because that was my next question to you. I was hoping that you might get some inside track from BT Sport or somewhere, but no, nothing.
I forgot to ask when I was with everyone from BT Sport on Friday night. But there's obviously a reason.
From what I've read, his body wouldn't allow him to play at the highest level anymore. He's said himself he's been struggling with injuries for a while. He wouldn't be fit enough to play in any of the knockout games, and he wanted one last game on his own terms. So they gave him kind of 50 minutes against Newcastle at home.
Interesting. Right. I mean, okay. That sounds almost incredibly disrespectful to Newcastle. I can't play rugby anymore, but I can definitely play Newcastle. And just to hold on for two or three more games.
Hey, Andy Goode came out of retirement in a lot worse shape than Jack Berger's in and managed to play most of a season. So, you know, Jack, we can give Jack that 50 minutes. But just, what a guy, what a guy. JB, I think you should try and capture how you feel about him, because he's been your favourite player over the years of doing the podcast.
Yeah, I think he became comfortably my favourite player. He was the sort of player, and still is the kind of player, that he doesn't say anything. And what he does say tends to be tremendously nice. Unfortunately, on the receiving side of his shoulder, it's not so nice. And for me, what characterised him the best was that away performance at Claremont. God knows how many tackles. I think it was 30 plus. And he is a shining example of what can be achieved, even though he wasn't the most physically gifted. I mean, we're talking about a fella that's 6'2". If you stand next to him, he's no giant. But what he's achieved just through sheer hard work is exceptional. And I think that's why I like Jack Berger so much.
Did either of you read the kind of three pictures that he tweeted just before he played on the Saturday?
No. Oh, I have read one.
I did.
Did. Brilliant.
Really, really touching.
I don't think I've read anything that... It kind of... He says it in his own text, but it kind of makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck. It's just puts into words some of the kind of feeling of when you're playing rugby with your mates, when you're loving it. I thought it was absolutely sensational.
So does anyone know what he's going to do next, where he's heading, what
he's got? He's a 15,000 or 1500 acre farm in Namibia, something like that.
Nice.
Very nice.
He tweeted a picture of the view from his house that he'll be in later this year. So that's all the best, Jack. You're always welcome on the pod.
All the best indeed.
Hey, listen, someone else who...
has been partying abroad?
No, Castro partying abroad. That was a treat, wasn't it? I love it. Like, it was just how shameless it was. Yeah, I've got to go back and deal with a family matter.
Yeah, what was he thinking?
Okay, so let's paint the picture. He says he's got to deal with a family matter, right? And being Argentine, Italian Argentine,
yeah.
He jumps on a plane with
Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Right? Do they travel together? That's my first question. Or do they just meet there?
Well, Ibrahimovic would probably have chartered a private plane, wouldn't he?
It's not completely inconceivable that they have arranged this because they both play in Paris.
Yeah, yeah.
So they might even be actual mates rather than just bump into each other. So I need to know this.
I don't know. I'm guessing that Zlatan would have chartered a plane and Castro probably jumped on that plane. And that's why he thought there's no danger of anyone seeing him going to Vegas because he's on a private plane.
Right. So then, does someone post a picture on one of their Twitter accounts or is it a fan posting a picture?
It looks like it's from a very long-range camera.
Yes, I agree with that. Although I would defend Castro and
say... No, because they're dancing. They're looking at the lens.
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
Are they not?
They're looking at a scantily clad woman passing by, and this is why I would defend Castro.
That's why he's got family issues.
The family issue is he needs to impregnate that woman.
Now, the real problem here, right, is he might have got away with this. Because no one's going to, like, go to Vegas and go, oh, look, a butcher, let's take a picture of him. But if he's hanging around with Ibrahimovic, who is one of the most famous sports stars in the world, well, then you're going to get busted.
Yes.
I mean, Castro could be anyone.
He doesn't care. His career's obviously coming to an end. He does. He just doesn't care. He's loving life.
But it was a European Cup semi-final that he missed.
Oh, my God. This is insane.
He's got a genuine chance of winning something. He's never won anything with Italy. He's got a genuine chance. He has obviously won stuff with Toulon, but a genuine chance of winning kind of another trophy towards the end of his career. And he messes it up by doing this.
I don't even think he's that old, is he? I think he's like 34-ish.
Yeah, but he's...
For a prop, is relatively young.
He had... didn't he have a tumour on his spine last year removed?
No idea.
I don't think he's been functioning at the same level.
Yeah, well, at his absolute peak at Leicester, they picked him ahead of Julian White, I think. I think it was Julian White, because his work rate was so great, and it's the only way they could think of combating Gethin Jenkins, who the game before for Cardiff Blues managed to make 16 tackles in one half, which is quite an outstanding work rate.
Burger-esque work rate.
Oh, it is burger-esque. Listen, well, let's go from one charismatic prop to another. Did you listen to the end of the little mini podcast, boys?
I couldn't do it. I mean, not because you told me to do it and I wanted to be awkward. I couldn't listen to it because I knew I prepared so badly. I didn't want to listen to what we put out. So, well, no, I didn't.
Well, you said something a few weeks ago when we were talking about Alex Corbisiero rapping, and you said you'd love to see one of those adverts for like you used to see on the late night TV when it went into infomercials, the adverts for, like, you know, 18 discs.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Just listen to this.
The Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast brings you...
Keep it kind of quiet, people on a diet.
The Hip Hop Prop. An Alex Corbisiero anthology.
I'm the killer, killer, I'm the ladies thriller. Built like a gorilla, mixed with a favourite chinchilla.
An 18-CD collection of some of the greatest hip-hop works ever made.
Looking at the crowd, girls looking fine.
From the voice of a generation.
Everybody's staring at my sexy behind.
The Prop Idol.
Yeah,
Alex Corbisiero. More unpredictable than referees' decisions at scrum time. Hitting harder than a Jacques Berger face tackle.
Everybody feel this, I'm about to fucking end it. Sorry, with the real deal, you just pretend it.
And tighter than an Avian Lewis Roberts rugby jersey.
We got Topsy Sarries in the red and black, trying to unleash the Wolfpack attack. Saints in the black, green and gold.
Here Corbs drops some shameless product placement.
Special, like the Henley Festival. Damn, I don't mean to trouble you. Tonight is brought by BMW.
The Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast brings you The Hip Hop Prop.
I'm gonna grab the microphone and start to fly it.
Available nowhere.
You can't buy this
now.
I think it should be available now.
I agree.
Incredible, Tim. Incredible work.
Do you know, the only 15 we've not done is a singing 15. And we probably could do one. Because you've got one Hip Hop Prop there. You've got Andrew Sheridan. By the way, how has he escaped ridicule from us with his acoustic album?
Matt Stevens as well. Something about props.
Yeah, Matt Stevens. God.
There's also Danny Cipriani. He did his... we've got so many lads from the old rugby oaky days. I'm amazed we haven't done a 15.
Yeah. Right, well, I'll get on that. I'll get on the case with that one. But let's get back to some of the rugby. Can I talk about my... my reaction to London Irish, because I was there working for BT Sport. It wasn't a televised game, but I was basically there in case London Irish went down or managed to, you know, get
stay
an unlikely win and get close to... I was basically just there to cover it off and link into the programme, yeah, which I did. And I had to interview Tom Coventry after the game. I asked him some pretty tough questions. And he took. I just wanted to say, I thought he acted like a real man. He had a right, proper pair of cojones, having been relegated. I thought he was a credit to himself. Basically, he dealt with it brilliantly. He fronted up. He looked like, and I'm only speculating here, he looked like he'd been crying when he came through to the room to get the post match questions.
New Zealanders don't cry.
He looked like it, but. I also want to say this. I feel really sorry for him. And I think that he's going to carry the can. And maybe that's the way it always is and it should be. However, I think if I was apportioning blame, that I think Bob Casey should take a bit of responsibility as well. Because Tom Coventry has never been head coach.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Tom Coventry's never coached in England. And he was basically handed the keys and told, it's all yours. And I think... it's easy to say in retrospect, but I think that was quite naive. I don't know of anyone that has gone to a new country and had their first job as a head coach.
I know one.
Go on.
Wayne Smith came over. You're right. First job as a head coach.
Yeah, it's the two, isn't it? It's the combination of the two.
That's a good question, actually. I bet I can name one. Actually, maybe Wayne Smith did went from All Black attack coach to Northampton.
But I bet he'd been a head coach somewhere else before.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm still surprised it didn't work out, because Coventry came from a very good system. And even this year, just look at the Crusaders playing, and he was very highly thought of there as their attack coach and by Dave Rennie. So it is quite a shock, but maybe there is a reason that Northern Hemisphere teams don't play like Southern Hemisphere teams, and that's because they're from different rugby environments.
Hmm. I did feel for the guy. And
what do you think is going to happen next? Have you got any inside knowledge?
No inside knowledge whatsoever, as far as that goes. I my guess would be that Tom Coventry will move on. He's got 2 years left on his contract. I'd like to see him stay. I just wish they'd sort of said someone like Glenn Delaney, you be the kind of boss. Tom Coventry, you'll come in. You're our man. Next year, it's all yours. But just get used to England. And I think they would have stayed up because they were good enough to stay up. They just that those first 5 weeks when they got pumped trying to play Super Rugby just blew their confidence and they never recovered.
Yeah, but you know what? Maybe they just weren't good enough because the teams that have stayed up have been genuinely good. You'd struggle to criticise Worcester, who have had a very good tally for a first season. And Newcastle have had some stunning results. So between the two of them,
From what I've seen, I think London Irish's pack absolutely dominated Quinns at the weekend. Absolutely pumped them from minute one.
But a lot of teams have just dominated Quinns.
They just can't finish. They just can't finish, and that's confidence. It's not skill. Maitland, Lewington, they've got some real quality in the backs. Fembe and Ojo and. The centres, Williams, they missed Andy Goode, and if he'd have been playing for London Irish rather than, you know, I mean, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth what he did to London Irish. I think.
I understood that he gave him first refusal. Did he not?
I'm not sure what the ins and outs are, but yeah, anyway.
My understanding of that situation is he phoned them and said, I am coming back. If you want me, please pay me, which is absolutely fine.
That's not the story that I've heard. I heard he was retired, and Dean Richards kind of called him up and offered him a position, a short term position, until
for a lot of cash.
Yes. Mm. So I'm not,
and no pre-season.
Yes, and more importantly, no pre-season, and he got 100 bottles of Corona after every game, I believe.
Nice.
Delivered straight to his personal
changing
room.
And they let him fly up on game days, and he only trained once a week. He flew up for training. One day a week, and then flew up for games from London on a game day.
Incredible. That is actually a better deal than probably anyone else around of Dan Carter. I'm not even being flippant.
Per minute of training and games, yeah, it's probably not far off. But he almost single-handedly kept them up because they won three or four out of kind of six, seven games when he was playing.
Would you offer him a contract again next year on the same terms?
There's got to be a year. Maybe next year, but maybe not the year after.
Next year, definitely.
Maybe next year.
Wow.
let me mention another fly half that is at the other end of his career, looking very promising. Sam Davies, Dan Biggar's understudy.
Yeah, indeed. He's been looking very promising for years now. But again, if Dan Biggar says no, you won't get any playing time. Ask James Cook. Ask everyone who's ever played with Dan Biggar. Well, but maybe this is the guy.
Well, he's Ospreys Player of the Year. And Morgan James Webb tweeted us an article about Sam Davies being named Ospreys Player of the Year. And get this for a quote. Mm. The article says, from the Western Daily Press, is it? Is that the Welsh newspaper? Yeah. It says... Sam Davies also won the 2013 IRB Junior Player of the Year after, and wait for it, this is what he had to do to win that award. He won the 2013 IRB Junior Player of the Year after beating off New Zealand's RD Surveyor and England flanker Jack Clifford.
It is quite funny when these things happen because I'm almost certain James Hook was also a Junior Player of the Year. And it is even worse for James Hook because if he wasn't, he either won it or he's like in the shortlist to win it. And it's even worse for him because he was an established first teamer when Dan Biggar took his place as a 19-year-old. Dan Biggar also got rid of Morgan. He also got rid of Henson. He's disposed of Priestland. He's a stone-cold killer. You don't mess with him. But
well,
who knows?
This Sam Davies looks the real deal as well. So Wales have got a good 10 coming through anyway.
Excellent.
As for the, did you see any of the Welsh rugby in the Pro 12? What was this big match called with the 60,000 people? Judgment Day.
Judgment Day.
That was it.
Yeah. Named after one of the Terminator movies, I believe.
There we go. Perfect. Very original. what happened in Judgment Day?
And also named after when like God will come back and decide who deserves to live, yeah?
Yes, I guess so. I guess yeah. So. I guess that's fingers crossed for a Gavin Henson appearance. what happened? Who won? Does anyone know?
Yes.
Yeah, of course we know, JB. Oh, right. Why don't you?
I have no idea. Well, I mean, what would be the point in Judgment Day other than to get a couple of thousand people there for a good old shindig for some games that only mean anything for one team, and that's really the Scarlets.
Yeah, well, the Scarlets are only really the ones who can still make the top four, and even that isn't in their hands. But the Scarlets beat Dragons 34-20, and Ospreys beat the Blues 40-27. Mm. In what, just judging by the scorelines, looks like two very good games.
Yeah, do you know, I do get a feeling that although everything I say about the Pro 12, I stand by, I do get a feeling that it's about to turn a corner, and it will probably be sometime next year. Because I have actually been slightly impressed by the Welsh teams over the Christmas period. And although I've missed this chunk of games, you do get the feeling that they're starting to play a bit better.
Oh, they are. They are. And it's almost disappointing and frustrating from an Ospreys point of view that this season is a World Cup season, because last season they made top four, they were looking very good, and then they lost a load of stars for much of the year. And I know other teams did as well, but it does feel like they kind of, you're hoping for them to kick on after their performances last year, and they've not been able to.
I mean, this will be the perennial problem with the Pro 12. If you kick and scream about you must have your international players on your terms when you want...
Stop it, Jay. There's a clear difference between... You keep going on about the Aviva Prem is so much better because of this, that and the other. But wait. It disproportionately affects those clubs much more.
That's my point, Tim. That's exactly my point, which is if you've only got a small amount of teams and they're full of internationals, when you do lose the internationals, it completely rips the heart out of your competition.
Well, it's only really you that's having a major moan about that.
Well, it's not just me. I think it'd be every Pro 12 fan that didn't see their team in the last in the knockout stages of the European Cup. So it does. My whole point about the Pro 12 has always been it probably needs less matches and less dross, because then you can take the European... they do take the European Cup seriously, but you can be serious contenders. With the Premiership sides, they can lose all their England internationals. It doesn't really hurt them that much because there's so many more England internationals spread among 10 teams. It's a huge... Sorry, 12 teams. It's a huge difference.
It is a huge difference. I'll tell you what, we'll go from something that you're a little bit of a stuck record on to something that I've been a little bit of a stuck record on. And in the Stormers-Waratahs game in Super Rugby, there was another one of those like upper chest high tackles.
Okay.
Wasn't actually above shoulder height. It was shoulder high tackle. It looked good to me. It looked like a really good, fair, hard hit. And again, it was dealt with. I felt harshly, and I think it was just again. I'm just going to keep my eye on it. I'm not going to go on about it. But mission creep.
Should I let World Rugby know that you're keeping your eye on it, Tim?
Yeah, you let them know.
All right, then.
Come on.
I've not seen that specific tackle, but I have seen the red card for taking a man in the air, taking Bernard Foley in the air, and I do think that is a fair. It's a fair call.
Oh, have you got it there, Phil?
I have got it here.
Can I have a quick look? I do like to watch a good red card.
Have you seen this one, Tim?
Yeah, that was fair, I thought.
It's completely accidental.
Ooh,
but accidental. He does very much land on his head.
Ooh. Yes.
There is no denying that he is taken out in the air.
I have a lot more sympathy for that than say...
Wait, watch his landing. Ooh.
Ooh, ow. Ouch.
He was okay, fortunately.
Yeah, I have a lot more sympathy for that one than I do like with the previous high tackles that we've seen. And the reason being is that one, they're both clearly looking in the air, they're both looking to elevate. But I think what the authorities are trying to get through to people now is you don't look in the air, you look at where the other man is, you slow down, you make contact in a slow, steady pace. They're looking to kill that aspect of the game. In fact, if you ask me, they're looking to kill competition in the air completely, really. And that'll be that. But no, at least we know.
I think they want fair competition when both players have the ability to get off the ground, because that makes it safe. And that there's no problem with that. The problem is if you're...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If you think you've got a chance of being second best and you're unable to get off the ground, you're better taking 2-3 seconds off, waiting for the man who's going to take the ball to land and then hit him in.
Well, I would take
savvy teams are dealing with it. Let's not go over it again. We've been over it so many times.
Agreed.
With the high tackle one, we're all in agreement. I'm a little bit different from where you are in terms of...
I was wondering what you're going to say
then. Tackle, but that's fine.
Okay.
We'll give you that.
Right, so... I mentioned this on the little mini podcast that you couldn't bring yourself to listen to, JB, because you didn't want to hear yourself being so hammered. But I mentioned that Sonny Bill Williams and Dwayne The Rock Johnson have been tweeting each other, and The Rock has been saying how much he loves rugby, and Sonny Bill's been saying, hey, come train with us in our sevens team. And it looks like it could well happen that The Rock play a bit of sevens.
Right, okay, so a couple of things on this. First of all, this will never, ever happen. As much as I love The Rock, he is a publicity master, and there's no way he'd ever step onto a rugby field. I'm not saying he couldn't play or he couldn't do it. I just don't believe that he likes it one bit, and that will be that. As for Sonny Bill, I don't think between them they could organise this. I really don't. And even if they did, I think The Rock would be a terrible, terrible sevens player.
Oh, sevens, probably.
Sevens, yes. Not least for the fact that he's...
is he like 40 as 40, well?
45 and 20 stone.
Yeah, it'd be a terrible idea. They should get him involved. If he really likes rugby... I mean, this is the thing. If he really likes it, there is a pro league in the States. He could just nip over and watch one rather than wait for the world's greatest team to rock up to his doorstep.
Do both.
Sure, he could play 15s.
It would be a great publicity, or it already has been a great publicity piece for The Rock.
I bet he'd pass the ball, do you know, the reverse pass of someone who's never passed it ever before in his life.
Have you ever seen Will Smith taking a penalty, a football penalty?
I have, actually. I think it'd be just like that.
It's one of the most cringy things you can ever watch.
Like, when you get onto the park and you play left-handed throwing with a cricket ball.
Like when... Diana Ross in the 1994 World Cup was supposed to score a penalty and she missed the goal and the goal still exploded.
Yeah, this is a bad idea for both parties because Rock loves his publicity and if there is a picture of The Rock trying to miss pass doing one of the awkward hand passes, it would go viral, it would look stupid.
It would look bad.
In no way will this ever happen.
It's like politicians that they're quite happy to like kick a football or grab a George Osborne grabbing a cricket bat.
Yep.
None of them want to grab a rugby ball because they know they'll look stupid.
Well, funny you should say that, Tim, because I would make a bet that Boris Johnson would make a better fist out of rugby than The Rock.
He already has done.
Yeah.
When he was playing football.
Yes.
And also the time that he absolutely smashed that Japanese schoolboy.
Oh, yeah, he did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yes.
It is
a question I put out on Twitter, boys, and we've had loads of response to this. So if the Rock probably won't come and play rugby, but what rugby players could go and play, could go and be involved in professional wrestling, WWE?
Let's
hear some of the suggestions while you think about it.
I'd love to.
Go on,
all
then.
Right. So Rugby Rumble tweeted us to @rugbypodcast and said, Jacques Berger and Juan Fernandez Lobe would be the best tag team of all time.
Yeah.
Okay.
They would be good. Phil Jeffrey, Danny Grucock would scare the crap out of small children. Get him in the ring.
Yes.
Yeah, well, yeah, agreed.
Keith Halfpenny says Shabal. The fact he looks like he's been lured down from a mountain with a chunk of meat bodes well.
Yeah, good.
Shabal would be a heel.
Also says Stuart Hogg because he takes a dive well.
Yeah, fine. Okay, fine.
which makes me think that Chris Ashton could be quite good. He's in good shape. He'd be one of those quick, athletic, smaller guys, but he can take a punch very well, and his finish would be the Ash Splash.
Well,
good.
Yeah, nice. Well, I've actually got a 15 of them, and I won't mention them purely for the fact that I don't know their names. But I can tell you this, there are currently 15 guys in the Welsh Leagues banned for WWE supplement use. So they're halfway there anyway. It's not going to be a huge stretch to suggest that they could make it.
Fair enough. Chris Jane, friend of the pod, said Nick Alterac has the physique of a WWE wrestler and says he imagines they have similar supplement regimes as well.
Yeah.
Big Will Skelton was suggested.
Yeah, he would
yes,
be good.
Very good.
He would be good.
Dara Ruddy says Castro is essentially Mick Foley and he's now already on location.
Nice.
And James Haskell got mentioned a bunch of times. And I imagine Hask being in cut-off jean shorts. Like, what's his face?
Ooh.
Oh, what's the guy's name?
Jay. Well, I was going to go with...
What's the wrestler who was the champion and he wears his jean shorts and trainers and he has that hip hop track is
right. The more you say jean shorts, the more I'm thinking of the Ass Man.
Like, you're thinking of tiny little jean shorts that women would wear.
No, Mr. Ass. He was brilliant. What was it? Maybe that was his name. But the little
you're thinking of John Cena, Tim.
John Cena. Yes, he'd be the Hask could like do a John Cena. I reckon.
I've got the list of the 15 lads who were banned by the. Oh, actually, I shan't go there.
Yeah, don't do that.
Good work.
I used to have a strength and conditioning coach called Mark Henry, who played...
Oh, nice!
Not the Mark Henry, unfortunately, although he would be a good strength and conditioning coach. He played at Salford Reds, rugby league boy.
Yes, I thought I recognised the name. Is Mark Henry, the actual wrestler, still alive?
His Wikipedia page does not have a death date on it.
Well, that's good to know.
I would assume so.
I don't think there's a more dangerous job in the world than WWE wrestler.
Oh, God, the average lifespan of a WWE wrestler.
But what a life.
You see, we've lost some big names in 2016 already. David Bowie, Prince. But I'm glad we can all sleep well tonight. Mark Henry's all right.
I can't confirm. I'm just on Wikipedia. So I wouldn't trust that 100%.
Yeah, so just quickly, current UK... UK drugs bans by sport. Rugby union has 22, 15 of which come from the Welsh lower leagues.
Of course.
Wow.
Of course they do.
Wow. And the next one doesn't say, but athletics is number 4. And wrestling has got 2. Football's got 1. And that's it.
Wrestling? Do they drug test wrestling?
Olympic wrestling.
For the record, football don't sign up to the World Anti-Doping Authority because,
good for them.
Potentially because they know that a lot of their players would get done for their antics after a game on a night out.
Yeah, well, good for them. I think it's wise and it's,
Yeah, well, that killed the conversation dead, didn't it?
It did. I don't know where to go with that.
Well, never mind. Let's not get into that.
Shall we go from one union to another? And the Rugby Player Association Player of the Season announcement today.
Oh, that was so razor sharp of you to fill that gap well, Phil.
Thank you,
Tim. Razor sharp.
It was razor sharp. Learned from the best.
I reckon we should... Oh, I'm cutting out. Can you hear me, gentlemen?
Yes. Yeah. Have you got us?
Good. Yeah, all right. Let's just give a mention to our sponsor who are making the technology that we're using Skype on possible. To actually make this podcast at all.
Yeah. As I say, every week, I am truly amazed by the number of people that sign up to Cornerstone Razors. But there again, I shouldn't be because I sign up and they're absolutely flipping brilliant.
They are superb, aren't they?
Yeah.
They really are.
That's always my reaction when you say you're always surprised by how many people sign up. It's a meritocracy. This people aren't going to spend money on something they don't believe in, and it's just that we've introduced people to something which is a brilliant product, and it's Cornerstone's precision engineered blades and razor shaft that you get for free with your first order, for which you can get a £10 discount because you listen to us, and thank you very much for that. If you go to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, then you get £10 off your first order. And I think it's an order as little as like £4 or something like that, that you get your free precision engineered shaft. And that shaft in your hand is perfectly balanced, isn't it, Phil?
It certainly is, Tim. It certainly is.
Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. Or, JB, what at checkout?
Egg 10 at checkout.
Oh, beautiful stuff. And thank you, Cornerstone. Get involved. Just try it. See what all the fuss is about. See why so many people are signing up. And you know what? If you don't like it, you can not do it again. But you'll pretty much get a free first order, and we think you'll love it.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, you will like it. We guarantee.
RPA Player of the Year.
Yes. Incredible announcement. The five players, have you seen this?
Nope, I've seen the long list.
So the short list for the RPA Player of the Year includes no one from Saracens.
What?
Despite Saracens being comfortably top of the Premiership at the moment, not losing a game till after Christmas, winning all of their European Cup games, and contributing the most players to the England squad.
Can I make a guess? No, I've not seen this shortlist. I'm going to make a guess.
Okay.
Is there no Bath players on there?
Unsurprisingly, there are no Bath players on there.
Interesting. I wonder if it is the RPA getting their own back for the salary cap, which they so vehemently support.
Ooh, that's interesting. Have a guess at who you think it would be on this list then, JB.
Okay. Well, I mean, obviously I'd go with like a Todgy or someone like that, or Farrell.
I just assumed he'd be on the list.
Yes, those two, or just at least one of those two, and Billy Vunipola.
Well, the RPA is,
and Alex Goode as well.
Yeah,
Alex Goode's been superb this year.
Well, you know, awesome.
The RPA, right? From what I understand of the organisation, is the players' body, and it represents primarily the English players in the English league. Is that correct?
I don't think it is. I don't think it is for a couple of reasons. One, there are Englishmen on this list, although there's only one man who was born in England on this list.
Okay.
But also, I think it just represents everyone who plays in England.
Are they all English qualified?
No. There are two who have played internationally for other teams. There are two who are... Well, one is definitely English qualified because he's played for England. One is potentially very soon to be English qualified, and one is a...
I don't think you can be in the RPA if you play abroad. And the reason I say that is because when we had Damien Hopley on the pod, they were making the RPA out to... And rightly so, actually. I think it's a great organisation. They were making it out to be like the extra string in the bow for England players staying in this country.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a separate thing from saying they don't represent people that play abroad, as in play for nations abroad as well. They represent
everyone in English leagues.
They are the rugby professionals playing for Aviva Premiership clubs. Come under the union of the RPA.
Yes,
got you. So,
the list:
Thomas
Waldron. Very soon qualify to play for England.
Nathan Hughes. Well, that answers my question then about people playing from abroad.
Ewers was really good, by the way, at the weekend. You just mentioned him briefly there. His little hunchback still disturbs me slightly, but it makes him good for like. Oh, he's already got a low body position when he's going into contact.
Yeah, he's so powerful, isn't he?
Cipriani.
No, but there is a fly half on the list. An English fly half.
English fly half. Well, it's not going to be Ford, surely.
It's not Ford.
And come on, Sippers has had a good few weeks, but he's not. Like he had a horrible couple of months in the middle there.
Agreed, but if there's no Farrell and there's no Ford, where would you go next? Slade's been injured all year.
Yeah,
someone we've already mentioned this person on the podcast.
Andy Goode.
Yeah.
Bloody hell!
And then the other two, two more Wasp players. So there's three Wasp players, and it's Piatau. It's Piatau.
Great law firm.
Piatau and George Smith.
Oh, nice.
So So I'm not saying that those players don't deserve, because those players have been superb, but it is a little bit surprising to not see a single Saracen on there.
I think there's a little bit of underhandness going on, because there's no way that the four guys that we mentioned do not belong on that list.
Yeah.
Just George Cruz. You mentioned George Cruz.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, well, that's okay, a joke,
if they're
actually
only naming five, who would you put George Cruz in for?
Andy Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, hang on.
No, let's just put George Cruz to one side, okay? Would you put Owen Farrell ahead of Andy Good?
Yes.
As much as I love Andy Good, all joking aside, Owen Farrell has to get on that list.
Yes.
So this to me stinks of politics and saying, actually, unless it's voted for by the players, I simply don't know.
It might have.
No, hold on. It is the players' player of the year.
Oh, there you go then.
Yeah.
So maybe no politics.
I'm still with this politics thing, because at the start of the season, there was a lot of nonsense about the two clubs breaching the salary cap and how it's cheating everyone else.
Maybe.
So you think maybe the players have just... that's interesting.
Although they could just be so fed up of being hammered by Saracens week in, week out, that they don't want to vote for them.
Yeah, and there's no way. I mean, look, if Saracens win the league and the European Cup, which they're on target to do, they're going to look very silly for not voting for those players.
They will.
Anyway, of those five, Andy Good, Charles Pietau, George Smith, Nathan Hughes, Thomas Waldron, pick one right now.
Toss-up Hughes or Pietau.
Possibly Waldron, just because of his try-scoring rate is so impressive.
I think 13 tries from a total of 13 yards.
No, he scored some from some distance, but most of them are from the back of that incredibly impressive Exeter rolling maul.
I don't want to denigrate what he does. He's outstanding. I'd go for Charles Pietau.
I think it's probably a toss-up between Pietau and Smith for me. I think Smith has got even more out of Nathan Hughes because he's so good.
Nathan Hughes, I think, big ball carrier. Love it.
Yeah. And Andy Good, do you know how many games he's played this year?
Six.
Nine.
JB's slightly closer, seven. Seven games.
What? This is making a mockery of a 22-game season RPA Players Player of the Year nominee. Come on.
It does a little bit, doesn't it? I wonder how many of the London Irish players voted for Andy Good.
Yeah. Oh. This is very peculiar.
Anyway.
Because if they were going for sentiment or like just wanting to recognise someone who was leaving...
Yes, Tim. I absolutely agree. Leaving.
But anyway, where are we at, gents?
We're at next week's games, Tim.
Oh, yes. Oh, no, just very quickly, can I ask you something, like, really, really quick? Because we already identified that Henry Slade looked outstanding along with Exeter's backline.
Uh-huh.
There's... Who'd you... Right, if you were selecting England centres today, who would you pick?
Tuilagi Farrell.
So you have Tuilagi at 13.
I still think Farrell is the premier 12. Yeah, I do actually, yeah.
I'd be tempted to go with what you might go for, Tim, and have Farrell at 10 with Tuilagi and Slade.
Yes, yes. That's where I'm at.
The only reason I'm saying Slade, I didn't actually watch him play this weekend. Is anyone else who I think of?
I mean,
Slade will put... Like, if you can put Tuilagi into a little bit of space or just use his power right at the gain line, he could be devastating. And Henry Slade is the man to unlock.
How about Tuilagi and Joseph?
Well, Joseph's form this year in a very poor Bath team, but also I don't think for England he ever looked kind of at his most frightening best.
I don't know. Again,
his best game was...
Wales, Six Nations.
Wales in the Six Nations.
Yeah, not the one just gone, the one before that.
Yeah, sorry, I'm talking about this year.
Yeah, right, I'm talking
this year. His best game was the Italy game, and he was dominated for 60 minutes by Campagnaro and then just happened to score a hat-trick.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'd be tempted, if outside of Slade at 13, to look at Elliot Daly.
Yes, that's very good. Yeah, I'd probably go with Elliot Daly over Slade at the moment.
Hmm.
I want Slade in there. I want him in there. But anyway, there you go. I just thought I'd canvas opinion now. We'll have plenty more time to talk about this ahead of the Australia series.
Do you not want Ben Teo in there, Tim?
Oh, yeah, obviously. He'll be in there.
First choice.
I want him in the squad. I want him in the squad as an alternate, as a ball playing 13. I like the look of him. Next this weekend's games, because this is it. Last round of domestic fixtures. Everything for European qualification and playoffs will be decided.
When is the Australia tour party announced?
Presumably end of May.
Do you reckon end of May?
Yeah.
So you usually fly the day after the Premiership final.
Premiership, yeah. So it'll probably be announced before that, and then they can get everyone who's not playing in the Premiership final together for the first week of boot camp.
Yeah. Okay, games, go.
Do you want to do the Pro 12 or the Premiership first?
Do the Pro 12 first.
Yeah, well, you're quite good at this, Phil, at explaining the different permutations and what things mean and who could get what.
Okay. Well, in the Pro 12, let me get it up.
I'm imagining you, because I'm not in the room with you right now, I'm imagining you like, you know, Jon Snow with his swingometer. I'm imagining you with some big graphics behind you as you explain this.
No Game of Thrones spoilers, please, Tim.
Yeah. I tell you what...
That was Jon Snow, the Channel 4 news reader guy.
I know.
Oh, right, sorry. You sounded really genuine then, Phil. You did good.
Jon Snow must be devastated that he was comfortably the best known Jon Snow until very recently.
Until the last few years.
No, hang on. There's Jon Snow, isn't there? There's Dan Snow, who is the other guy. But that's Snow's not Jon Snow. No, it's not. Have I got that wrong? Because there's another Snow. He used to do Tomorrow's World. And that's Dan Snow's dad.
Oh, right, okay.
So there's Jon...
Dan Snow's was a rower in the boat race for Oxford, I think. And then he's now like travel-type reporter. I don't know what he does now, but anyway.
We'll get back to you.
Yes.
Cheers. Appreciate it.
Anyway. Pro 12. There's only Scarlets currently outside the top four who can make it. They can catch Ulster. If Scarlets beat Munster away, and if Ulster lose to Ospreys away. And Ospreys can potentially make top six, although it's not top six, is it? Because it's the next best losers. So I don't think it actually matters to Ospreys at all. But the other games... Connacht host Glasgow, which is very interesting because Connacht were leapfrogged by Glasgow into first place because of their horrendous loss away at Treviso. So it's potentially not in their hands, because if Glasgow beat them and Leinster win, then Connacht could slip out of the home semi-final.
Oh, that'd be devastating.
It would be devastating to lose it by losing away Treviso. And the other game that matters, Leinster host Treviso. So I think we can fairly safely say that they will pick up the points. So for me, the most important thing is that Ulster win away at Ospreys in order to just secure top four.
And Ospreys got nothing to play with, no European qualifications?
No, I don't think they can. I don't think they can.
So only Scarlets can be in Europe next year for Wales?
For Wales, because you've got Glasgow, Connacht, Leinster, Ulster, Scarlets.
What a disaster.
And then,
disaster.
Treviso.
Well, at least we've got 60,000 to a game. So what have we got for the Premiership then?
Well, the Premiership...
That means even less, does it not?
Oh, JB, you loved it. So a couple of things. One... I spoke to I worked for BT Sport at Sale Sharks, their loss at Gloucester.
Yep.
And their home record in the league going.
Oh, can you imagine?
Last home game of the season. What a way to lose.
You'll need a bigger pack. Well, we've got one, so looks like we'll be using that.
So I got the Steve Diamond death stare post-game. It wasn't a happy bunny, so he didn't enjoy... Well, you know, he's just Steve Diamond. He's great, great value. But yeah, it was... I'll let you in on basically what happened. So I asked Steve Diamond some questions and in the post-match interview. And then In my ear, I have a little earpiece in, and the producer, he'll sometimes talk to me and say, right, like last question now, Tim, you know, because he's keeping an eye on the time how the other programs work and everything. And when the Steve Diamond interview finished, all I heard was, it was good, but I enjoyed the experience. But Steve Diamond, after a defeat which he hasn't tasted at the AJ Bell Stadium for over a year,
no, he really hasn't.
Wasn't happy, and they should have won, really. Sale, they blew it.
So what did Steve Diamond actually say, or was it his usual kind of nom 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 and then death stare, very short answer? Yeah, we lost.
No, that was it. It was a very short answer. So I think the last question I asked was, so then Newcastle away, you must still be hoping that there might be some twists and turns. You still feeling good about top six still? And he just went, yeah, you'd hope so. And then that was it.
Amazing, yeah, man.
It was good. Oh, but the other thing that the media guy at Sale said, I'll tell JB that whenever he wants an introduction with Dimes, it's on, because apparently when you were at the AJ Bell Stadium before, you were like, can you introduce me? Can you let me meet Dimes?
Yeah, please. Yeah, definitely. Yes, we'll sort that out immediately afterwards.
But they can still, and I fancy they might still qualify.
I think you might be right, Tim. So Sale currently in seventh place, 1 point behind Harlequins. Sale travel to Newcastle. Harlequins host Exeter.
So
Exeter wanting that second spot.
Yes, and
working so hard
wanting
to get
the sixth spot, I guess.
Harlequins do want the sixth spot, but Exeter basically need to win in order to get that second spot, because Wasps, who are 2 points behind them, host London Irish. So you'd imagine Wasps are going to pick up 5 points there. So Exeter really need a 4-point win. And I would back Exeter to do that against Quinn. So I think it is open for Sale to secure top six.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
The rest of the top four is all sewn up in the Premiership. Saracens are confirmed winners with a home semi-final. Exeter currently second. It's in their hands to get home semi-final. Then Wasps and Leicester follow them up. Northampton are fifth, but only 2 points ahead of Sale. And Northampton travel to Gloucester, who are 5 points behind Sale in seventh place, so Gloucester can't get anything out of that.
Gloucester have had nothing to play for, it feels like, since
February. Well, I think they'll have a crack for pure pride and not wanting to lose, because the way that they lost at home to, what was the Welsh team? Was it Dragons they lost to at King's Home in Europe?
Oh, yes.
That was a horrible, horrible defeat. And they will not have been happy about that. But so last game at King's Home, and they're a very, very proud lot there. So they'll want to win for pride. But also, don't forget, if Harlequins win the Challenge Cup, seventh place in the Aviva Premiership gets Champions Cup. Because this year, the Challenge Cup winners go into the Champions Cup.
Got you. So it does actually matter.
Very clever.
So it's probably still unlikely, because points difference, number of wins, blah, 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 Sale are still better off. But should Sale lose by more than 7 points, not pick up anything, then Gloucester could potentially, it's very unlikely, but it's not impossible.
Yeah, it's not impossible, because if they get a 5-point win, they would be on the same points, and then it goes down to wins, I think, which they would have more of. So it isn't impossible, but it is unlikely, like you say.
Excellent. Right, well, I think we should leave it there, gents.
Good idea. It's now 12 minutes past midnight on... Is it Tuesday today?
I've seen... Tuesday,
it's now Wednesday.
Oh, sorry. Now Wednesday. Yes. Thanks, Jay.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, whenever you're listening to this, thank you very much for listening. Find us at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, where you can react to anything you've heard. Leave a review on iTunes. Subscribe on iTunes and Acast. And whether we're drunk or whether we're sober, we will always make sure the podcast gets delivered straight to you.
Indeed, we will. Right, see you later, Tim.
Nice one.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I'm signing out from London Town in a bit.
Cheers, Tim.
Bye.
Bye.